You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A report from Child Poverty Action Group has found measures to address child poverty are leaving behind Māori, Pacifica and disabled children, as well as children of solo parents. The report has signalled that despite some progress, child poverty rates in Aotearoa mean we are still failing to recognise the legal right of the child under the Articles of the UN Convention. I spoke to Colleen Brown, disability spokesperson for the Child Poverty Action Group, about the report and what it means for Aotearoa. A Child Poverty Action Group report has found that even when poverty is addressed, there have been significant inequities with Māori, Pacifica and disabled children. Why do you think this is the case?
Well, I think it's an intergenerational thing in many ways. It's been around for a very long time, and it's systemic. It's very difficult to kind of tease apart, but one thing folds into another. And you would have seen in the report how we've got overcrowding, poverty, food insecurity, housing issues. You know, some years ago, if you were bringing up a child with a disability, you would be, you know, having quite a high level as far as a waiting time. You would be seen as a priority for Kāinga Ora, formerly known as Parents New Zealand. These days, that there are so many other people ahead of you in the list that by having a disability or a disabled child, or being a disabled parent yourself doesn't automatically mean that you're seen as a high priority. And this has happened. This is not a overnight sort of occurrence. This has happened over many, many years. So we're seeing just now, and, you know, I'm really pleased that it has got the prominence that it does have, and it should be front and centre of every single politician's mind and energy, really. If we tackle child poverty, then we're just going to make life that much easier for every single person in the country. And I think it's something that all of us as New Zealanders feel ashamed, really, that we have a country that has so much, and yet we have a significant cohort of people, particularly Māori, Pacifica and disabled, who seem to sit outside the system, or where we would prefer to see people enjoying their lives.
So what do you think is the solution to address this inequity?
One of the key things is that in the disability sector, a lot of people tell us what they think are the issues. And we have to come back and talk to the actual people who are in these situations, who don't have enough food on the table, who don't have adequate housing, and who are disabled. We've got to start talking to the families who have disabled children. And most importantly, and I've been going on about this for years now, we have to collect data. We don't have the data to inform us of how many houses do we actually need to house disabled people going through to when they are adults. How many children are coming through the system who have a disability? How many Māori and Pacifica children are living in houses, accommodation of any kind, emergency accommodation? How many do we actually have of these people? We don't actually collect the data. And that's what really, really concerns me, is that without data, you can't plan. In addition, I think the report looks at how not only local government, but central government need to come together to tackle this issue. They've got to work collectively, collaboratively with organisations out there in the front line. But I would go further and say individual government departments really need to get their act together and share information. They've got to have systems that can share information and act on it and have really well-informed plans and programs that can tackle this issue. I keep on coming back, we're only a country of 5 million people. Surely we can get this right.
So you're part of the Child Poverty Action Group. Why should the issue be framed as child poverty rather than family poverty or poverty in general?
Well, I think, I mean, central to all of this is that children don't actually have a voice. And so we have to make sure that their needs are heard in a manner that is dignified for them. And oftentimes, too, if you are in a poverty situation yourself, you are so busy putting food on the table, making sure there is a roof over your head at night, that you can't think beyond that. And advocating for your own situation is beyond your energy. I'm part of a number of groups on social media for disability. I have a son who's intellectually disabled. And you see the comments on social media about what people are enduring on a day-by-day basis. Navigating systems which are so unfriendly, so problematic for us, is, you know, it's inexplicable in many ways. Like, get rid of the bureaucracy around some of the issues that we face. Make it easy for people to access information, access agencies, access support. And whilst I put my hand up and say this government has done a lot in the disability sector, but it is no good, for example, assessing a child and saying this is what you need if you can't supply the need. So if you need a physiotherapist but there's no physiotherapy available for you in your town, district, whatever, or you respite care but there's nowhere to go to get the respite care, then we actually need to do a lot more. And this is where I come back to my idea about planning through data. If we know what we are going to expect with our children and what their needs are, then we can, what sort of capabilities we need.
Central to the report is that it says we're failing to meet our obligation to the UN Convention of the Rights of the Child. Why should New Zealanders be concerned about that?
I'd be shocked if New Zealanders weren't concerned about that. I think the majority of us, if all of us should be concerned about the welfare of our children. What sort of society are we if we don't look at the most vulnerable of our children and not want the very best for them? And this is a community hearts and minds thing. If you see a child and you know that they're going home to an inadequate housing, no heating, poor food, wouldn't your heart be concerned about it, your head, your mind be concerned about this? And don't forget, Article 2 of the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child talks about physical, mental, spiritual, moral and social development. We have to be concerned with all of those things. And if I'm concerned for my own children about those things, I should be concerned for every child.
That was Colleen Brown on a recent report from the Child Poverty Action Group on how some groups of children are still being left behind and why children need to be centred in discussions of poverty in Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.